Okay, that seemed to work. Lovely. Hello, everyone. 25th of April, and it's our UK call time for supervision and support. So happy to welcome you all here and saying hello. We are trialing, I'm trialing new call times. Because, like, as you can see, it's nighttime here. So, and I was on a call this morning at 6 a.m. with Jolie, my time, and Uncle was there as well. So it's kind of like, oh my goodness me. Yeah, long days, weird days. So it is 8 p.m. right now. So I'm trying to just answer your question, Murray, for anyone listening, watching the replay. I'm responding to the chat questions. Yeah, so it's like morning and evening is the best time to catch everybody in the UK. But sometimes I'm doing it at both ends. That's good fun. All right. Yeah, no problem, Sophie, off camera. That's all good. All right. Who's got stuff they are bringing today? Do you have things about your business, about your life, about your client practice? How can we help? Hey, Marie, go for
Hello, so nice to see you. Hope the move was all good.
yeah, thank you.
Okay, so mine is a little bit of a personal self-doubt thing that's coming up in my business. So I've recently been to Australia for the Biker 10-year anniversary, and it was super inspiring, and it's kind of fired me up again, you know, and I find I've had this massive surge of energy and creativity and lots of stuff pouring out of me, which is great. But I can feel at the same time, it's like your analogy of having the foot on the pedal and the foot on the brake at the same time. And I'm trying to figure out really what's behind that. And I've got a feeling that it is a fear of complexity because I did take a little break from my business about 18 months ago to be with the family, dealing with my complex kids, and Louis had to be homeschooled and all these things, which was very different. And I've started going to work again. I've even got an office space. I'm feeling really good about my work. I love my clients. It's really going well, but I feel like there's a part of me that keeps pulling back. And I kind of understand it intellectually, you know, from all the self-belief coaching and all that, that yes, this fear of complexity is like, what if I get too many clients? What if I've got too much work? What if, you know, what does that mean? And so I've got this really discomfort that I'm feeling, you know, between this really like feeling of going, wanting to go forward, wanting to make more money, wanting to have more clients, be more visible, all of these things. And at the same time, be like, I don't know if we can do this.
Right. Yeah. What's your theory, Marie, about why that's coming up now?
I think I'm worried about burnout. I'm worried about, like I said, complexity in the sense that now we have one of our kids at school that's, we had to move houses. Now we're a bit further away from the city center. So there's extra driving time to come to my office to do the school drop-off. We are currently looking for a tutor for Louis to do the homeschooling because we can't do it ourselves. And I'm worried that the number of hours in the day is not enough, and that I really want to work more with more people and so on. I'm just worried I can't handle it by myself almost, because it's still just me in my business. I don't have support. So I think that's where it's coming from, between personal life and professional.
And like, how does that make complete sense that you would be worried about? Because I always think you can interchange complexity with overwhelm. sometimes that's the version it comes in. It sounds like that's the version you're of complexity you're worried about. How does that make complete sense right now?
It does make sense because, I was in burnout for a bit. I'm followed by a therapist and a psychiatrist, and I've had to go on antidepressant to support me, and it's really helped me so much. I've been feeling more myself, and all the really dark, difficult times we've went through as a family, I feel like we're starting to get our head out of the water. So I suppose on the one hand, I'm feeling more energy, more creativity, more space to think about all that. And on the other hand, I think I'm like, oh, wait, what if we can't handle it? So I don't know if it's a timing thing or, yeah.
I mean, it sounds like life is complex enough right now. Life is complex enough. And so I think what can happen then is we go into that place of, if I add one more thing, the whole tower could topple. When you're just starting to get a little bit of equilibrium going, it's not quite, sounds like, you're still looking for Louis Tudor and figuring out the commute to the new house and the office. So it's almost like those things aren't quite in that like solid foundation place yet. So it can feel a little bit like the whole thing could topple. What I notice is that you're going into all or nothing. Right? Do you see that?
I do.
Like, either I just keep growing and getting more clients and this happens, or I do nothing.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I guess because when I was in burnout and then starting working again and so on, the creativity was nowhere to be found. And obviously I was feeling depleted. And now that it's coming back, it feels juicy and good. And perhaps there's also this fear of, if I don't ride this wave now, I don't know if it will stay.
Love it. So there is that sense then of, and just tell me where I'm wrong here, that if I don't grab hold of this creativity, it will run out. Coupled with, if I do grab hold of this creativity, I could burn out. So and I think that's the real litmus test of, am I in a state of all or nothing? You feel screwed both ways. So what's the way that isn't all or nothing?
Well,
Or put another way, if I
yeah.
might offer this, how can you enjoy this creativity and trust it to stay without burning out?
But it's pacing myself and trusting. That's the word, I think. I think there's been so much uncertainty lately, so much we thought we knew, which changed, and we had to evolve in so many ways, and we're still figuring it out as a family. And things evolve constantly as the kids grow, and I find it hard to trust. I feel like my default is to resort to control, to try and, grab it and hang on to it with everything I've got, because I feel like that's where, I've got control and it feels safer. And what feels still uncomfortable is to kind of trust that I don't need to have all the answers. And even if it does have up and downs, it doesn't mean it's all or nothing. It's just cyclical.
So there's something there about like trusting that you can pace yourself. You can pace the evolution of your creative ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You can trust yourself to pace the number of clients you take on.
Yeah.
You can create a wait list. You can create a group program, right? You
Yep.
could do this kind of like when you actually allow your creativity to be part of this, there's lots of ways you could do this.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like if you could have a conversation with your business, like if you saw your business as like a separate sort of being, have a separate spirit to yours that's working through you. If you could have a conversation with the spirit of your business, what is it asking for right now?
What is this asking for? To have fun, actually.
Right.
Because when I have fun in my business, everything flows at home as well. I feel happy, I feel resourced. So I suppose, yeah, it's less about big goals and achievements and more about, playful experimentation. And like you said, it's always a good thing. Like I get to choose how many clients I work with. I don't have to say yes to everyone.
That's right.
I was starting to think about a group program for later in the year. Yeah. So I guess can play with that and enjoy
Yeah.
those
Yeah.
feelings without necessarily seeing that leading me to like burnout or too much work.
Yeah. And you know, the image I have come to mind as you were consulting with the spirit of your business, because I knowing you, you're going to have these beautiful pristine white walls everywhere, right? And I could see you spray painting in bright pink letters, but are you having fun, right? Like it's almost like how can you bring that spirit to life, you know? Yeah, how can you let that
Absolutely.
voice kind of infiltrate your day?
Thank you.
It makes total sense to me that you would be really wary of adding stuff to your plate. Your plate is full, but you're allowed to have some fun with it and
Yeah.
trust that you can make choices around this.
One thing that I experienced when I did take like 6 months off was that something was missing. And it actually didn't feel that good. And starting to work again, things were coming back into balance because I do need that part of me expressed.
Yeah.
So I think it's a case of, yeah, keeping that in mind so that it's sustainable in the long run, that I don't have to take a
Yeah.
break, that I can take mini breaks, maybe take a day off,
Yeah.
maybe,
Yeah.
watch a
Yeah.
movie, things like that
Yeah.
from time to time.
Absolutely. And this really does come back to you trusting in your discernment, you know, to figure out, is this a person I want to work with? You know, given how precious time is and energy is to you,
Yes.
I think it could be a beautiful way of, you know, really running your business completely in alignment.
Yes, I have said no to a client, which didn't feel right, neither for me or her. And in a way, I was like, what am I doing? I'm not like
Yeah.
earning what I'd like to, what I need to yet. And yet I'm
Yeah.
saying no. But I suppose
Yeah.
it came from this wiser self,
Yeah.
that was like, this is not feeling good. And this is not, yeah, that would deplete me more than. Well, when I work with clients that are really deeply aligned, and I know not everyone will be perfectly aligned and whatever, but there is a different feeling after a coaching session. So, like you said, trusting that I can make those decisions and that and not look at it from a scarcity point of view.
Yeah. You could do things like have an application process.
Yeah, I like that idea.
You could be like really bring your discernment in, and you can state that on your website. Hey, I don't work with just anyone. I want to make sure we are right for each other. My time is so precious. I found whenever I've put really clear boundaries like that in place, the kind of caliber of person and their commitment to the work increases.
Yeah, that feels really good, actually, this idea. It feels like this extra boundary, like you said, like this protection almost of my energy, my time, and to keep this little bubble of creativity protected. Well.
And it can feel counterintuitive, right? We're supposed to be always available and always wanting clients, and actually, I don't think everyone is. And so, to be really clear about that is, I think, to put a bit of a stake in the ground for your clients to go, okay, if I'm going to commit to this, what is that asking of me? Amazing. How does
Thank you
that
so much.
feel for you, Marie?
No, I even feel calmer. I feel more grounded. This feels very good. So thank you so much. Really
Yeah, you're
helps
so
looking
welcome.
the things
I
through.
still love the pink spray paint. That's definitely with
Yeah.
me.
Well, actually, just next door, I've got a colleague. She's an artist and she has the brightest pink colors and whatever. So maybe I need to get an artwork from her to like come up.
Totally. Yeah. But is it fun? Yeah,
Is it
exactly.
fun? Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. So
Thank
good
you,
to
Sarah.
see you, Marie. I'm so
You
glad
too.
you're back with us, and yeah, it's just fab to see you. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, lovely. Thank you. All right. Have fun. Who's next? Anka. Hello.
Hi. Yeah,
Hi.
it was very helpful for me too, Marie. Because I'm kind of like refining a little bit whom I am going to work with and whom not, but I don't want to make it too narrow. So that's kind of the place where I'm in. And I have just had an encounter with a potential client. Like we had one session, like just to get to know. And I felt an immediate like, no, I don't know. This is like a guy, I don't really want to let it limit me. I have a little bit of an adventurous spirit there also, like let's see what I can do and what I cannot do. But so far I have kind of like, said no, not closer than this. This is like okay, but I don't know, do you have any experience also with how we can, like my normal thing is I do one session, like of get to know session, then one session, and then I only send them the link for more, and then there are five more, so that there's always kind of a stepwise limit. Even if after one session I feel like that's it, no more, then I know there is a limit there. But I don't know, anything, any ideas?
I'm curious to know, Anka, what you want to use this process for. Like, what's the goal here?
So, I would like to have more an intuitive clarity if I want to work with somebody or not. Like this was the first time I had one before, like a woman, where I also didn't recognize right away. Like I don't have enough experience there to know when the no is there. Like I have warning senses, but I don't know. And I want to make sure that I set up my system in a way that I can be open, have maybe even if there's not a clear no right away, one session and then go from there.
Interesting. So because there's a couple of ways to sort of look at this, right? One is, so what if you get a client that's not aligned? What if you worked for them for 10 sessions, knowing that they weren't really your ideal client and it was probably a bit of a no? Like, so what? How does that feel?
I don't want to do this to
Right.
myself.
And so there's no right answer here, right? But I think it's interesting to look at like what are the requirements that we are making of our clients. And I'm with you. Like when I started out, I had a pretty I was pretty much like, if it's a no, I'm just going to say no right at the start. Sometimes it was a no because the person intimidated me. Sometimes it was a no because I wasn't sure if I was able to help them. But what, and so I was telling myself it's a no because my body compass is telling me it's a no. But I think what was actually happening was I was like feeling self-doubt around my ability to help a person. And so I probably ruled out and referred on many more people than I could actually have coached.
That's interesting. And did you also have this kind of, because I mean, there's a little bit of self-doubt in myself in the background, but there is much louder. It's this adventurous voice and it's like, let's try. Did you have something like this too?
I mean, in the end, it was supervision that made the real difference to me. I worked with a couple of people that I kind of was a bit ambivalent about. Like it wasn't a really clear no, but it was a probably a no. One of them, I just don't think she was right for me, and it wasn't a great relationship. And the other one, we actually got to a really good place after, a couple of rounds a couple of rounds of coaching. And working with a supervisor really helped me to see where I was projecting my own kind of worries and fears onto the client and saying, you're not ready to do the work, when actually, it was me who was not confident enough to maybe ask the questions that would have made the difference. And there's no right answer here either, Anka. Like, I think it, particularly if you are, like Marie's talking about, coming back from a period of burnout where your capacity is just a little lower than maybe you would ideally like to be, then for whatever reason you choose, it's perfectly fine to say, I don't think it's right that we work together. I'd love to refer you on to someone, or, help you find another coach or whatever. But I'm also like really keen that we kind of back ourselves and trust that even if it's not the ideal coaching relationship, which happens all the time. Like there's so much pressure out there in internet coach land, right? You've got to be soulmates with your clients and love them to death. And some of that I think is like unhealthy the other way, right? So I think it's perfectly fine to coach with someone who, you wouldn't want to be friends with or don't have that much in common with, but you feel like I could probably help you.
I really love this, and I wrote down a lot of things that are now kind of more data in my mind because I would like to try, like in this case, and I had it before, if people are working currently with a therapist because they have a serious issue, I'm kind of nervous because I'm a nurse. Like I'm kind of nervous to where is my place? How do I fit as a coach? I know where I fit as a nurse, but I don't know where I fit. And but I really want to try it out, and it helps very much to say like even if we try and it's not a good fit, it was an attempt for both sides. I didn't know I cannot help. Like if I know I cannot help, then that's a clear no. And if my capacity, because I'm also coming out of burnout, like if I feel my capacity, that would be too draining for me. This person would be too draining for me right now. That's also a clear no. But if it's just a boundary thing, like oh, let me see how I can structure this whole thing. That feels like a creative play nearly. And that would be like a let's try one session. And then if that works, then I can let this person choose if they want to do one or five more or not. And then I can send them those links. But they cannot just sign up on my site and I can never get rid of them anymore. I can define what's okay and not, and I can also say from the beginning, I'm not sure if I really can help you, but if you would want to try, we can do a session. I have some ideas, and then we see after. Like I can make it a two-way, two-person thing. Yeah, that's
Absolutely.
very, very helpful. Thank you so much,
Yeah,
Sass.
you're so welcome. And I would also offer, like, I think I've learned the most from the clients that were not a great fit. Like, I think that's made me a better coach to work with
Yes.
people who didn't really like me, didn't really think I, didn't even really like coaching, some of them. And actually that's been really great as just a true experiment, right? They are coming to coaching quite skeptical. Maybe someone said, oh, you should really do this, and they are a bit like, I'm not quite sure I believe in that this is even a real thing. And then to be in the room with someone where it's just you and them, and they're bringing their shit and they're bringing that too, it's a really like edgy place to sit, but it's also, I think we find out who we are in those moments.
Yeah, I just witnessed this with my husband, who's an American counselor, and he had a person with personality disorder, and he had some other clients, and we talk about those kind of things with each other. It's like, should we do it? Should we not? What's and he also had this kind of thing, like, I would want to try if I can. And he also later he said, I was able to help, not in the way I thought, but it was so good for me and also for the other person. Like that we can be a stepping stone for someone and they can be a stepping stone for us without having to have the perfect unicorn experience happening.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're reminding me as you speak of this. I remember after I worked with a couple of clients with my supervisor support around, they were probably my first clients that I didn't really know, like they didn't really have any kind of connection to me. And then after I'd worked with those people for a while, I had someone who was referred by an old colleague, a corporate colleague. And she was the kind of person that I think doesn't have very many friends and was not particularly popular in her workplace. And she was coming to coaching because, some like half-assed reason, like I want to be better organized or something like that. But actually, that's what she wanted to know is, am I intrinsically unlikable? And I did not like her. Like, I found her to be unlikable. But because I had this kind of experience of working with people who weren't my soulmate, right? That I could actually say, yeah, sometimes you say things that are really blunt, and I'm wondering why. Right. So it gave us a safe place for me to be a bit more brave and provocative around this deep fear that she had that she was unlikable, that she was creating. And for me to say the things that felt really fucking edgy, right? To say to a client, yeah, I don't find you particularly likable. I wonder what that's all about. What is that? What is going on between us here? Does it matter that you like me, I like you? So it became this really quite fertile environment to explore some things that she could not explore with anyone else in her life. And we ended up, I have so much like I remember her, and real respect for her. And when we kind of unpacked it a bit more and, made some sense of her backstory, it was like, it was a miracle she was, where she was in life, really. So she started to like herself a bit more, and that made all the difference.
Yeah, thank you, Sass.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Folks, can you give me just 10 seconds to go and let my dog in? I don't know if you can hear him barking, but he is like at the door going, I want to be part of this. Give me 1 minute. Come on here. Thanks for coming. It's fun in here. Straight onto his chair. Doesn't even want to sit by me. Oh, he's had a big day. Thanks for that. Sorry. Okay. Anyone else got something they want to bring? I'm loving the sun in your face, Maria. You're glowing. Hey, Jolie.
Hi. Okay, so I have more of like an intellectual, not question, but like I'm trying to help my clients understand change. Change is my big hyper focus at the moment. Why do we avoid change? Why do we get stuck in change? And so I want to help them understand and challenge a little bit some of their self-concepts. And I want to make sure I'm like basically not spouting BS at them. So if I could like give you my theory and if you could just reflect back, like have I, because I'm trying to simplify it and I'm worried I'm like losing nuance or like not explaining things
Sure.
properly. So
Perfect.
I've really been thinking about the forming self-concept, formed self-concept, reforming that. And then also, I think if I'm not mistaken, that comes from or has influences from the immunity to change model, or they have a similar.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a developmental coaching model. So yes, yeah.
Okay. So I've been thinking about specifically with queer folks, how in they don't get to stay in that formed self concept with regards to, let's say, just sexual identity, right? That they, from an awareness point where they're like, oh, I'm queer, they have an awareness of I am not everyone around me, and how that thrusts them out of that formed self concept almost maybe before they're ready. Like when you just have, like when you're 7, 8, 9, and you're just like, I am not the same as everyone around me. And that can feel really scary. And then I think that makes their immunity to change, that immune system, more protective to other risks. And so they get stuck in formed self-concept where they're almost seeking to be back in forming. Because so they get stuck, like, I am queer, but then I have to be the same as all the queer people around me. Or I have one client who was like, I'm definitely not neurodivergent. I'm definitely not neurodivergent. I've thought about this and thought about this and thought about this and asked myself. I was like, if you have to ask yourself 1,000 times if you're neurodivergent, you probably are. But like couldn't, and like finally had that realization of like, I think I'm neurodivergent. And I was like, yeah. So I was like, but they were so stuck in like, no, I already have this one thing, this queerness piece, this transness piece that makes me different from everyone else. I can't have another one. And so I like that's how I've been thinking, like that I think there's some element of kind of getting thrust and having this really clear awareness that I'm not the same, but then almost seeking that and then getting a little bit rigid in their identity. So then they can't move in some areas of their life into this. Oh, I have multiple identities. Oh, I am queer, but also like some ways I am the same as everyone else around me. Some ways I am just like a little bit, you know, blit. Like there's this need to be like, I am special and I am sparkly and I am, no, I'm queer. They just get stuck in that like real solo. And that piece you said about like not accepting other parts of themselves, like it's almost like, yeah, but you still have privilege, or you still have like not the ability to like not accept, you know, like prejudices or like, you know, judgments about other people. Like you're, does that make sense how I'm explaining that?
Yeah, I'm tracking. I guess I'm curious to know what's the part that feels either unclear for you or that you want some help with.
Okay, the part that feels unclear. I'm worried that I don't want to build into a story of it's harder for you. Like, I think
Yeah.
there's already a story of it's really hard for me to move through the world to do, like, that's a real core wound for my people. But it's, I can't build a business because I have ADHD. I can't build a business because I'm not
Right.
consistent. I can't build a
Right.
business because I'm fat. I can, like, there's just so much of like, it's really
Yeah.
hard for me. I attract a lot of that protector.
Yeah.
And I don't
Yeah.
want to play into that and being like,
Yeah.
yeah, it's so much harder for you because you got thrown out of your form self concept. What I w hope is that if I explain this, be like, no, it makes sense. This voice that's like, it's so much harder for me because you got thrust out. And I just want to make sure I'm not like building into the narrative of like, it's so much harder
Sure.
for me. Jolie gave me permission to not change anymore because it's so much harder for me.
I love this so much. So, okay. So I think what might be happening is Well, here's what I want to do. I want to offer some clarity around this stuff. So, because I'm thinking about your people and so excited that you are offering this, particularly for queer folk, neurodivergent folk, like anyone who, identifies in a marginalized place. I think this kind of work around the evolution of your self-concept can be so empowering. So I just want to really affirm, like, what you're offering, I think, is beautiful and needed. We're just looking at module two in the latest class. So I have this open already.
Oh,
So
amazing.
I want to just remind you of two things that might really help here.
Okay.
One is the Mobius loop of adulthood, which you may or may not remember, right? And this is the idea that we tend to spend our adulthood either in sameness or difference or somewhere transitioning in the middle, right? And so on this side of the loop, we've got integration, right? Where you're post a big event or a change or whatever, and you're integrating it. Could be a learning experience that you've had, like training in something, or it could just be you've moved countries or you've changed roles in some way. And so you spend time integrating that. You can also be on this side of the loop because you're in a state of wanting to protect yourself, like you're wanting to simplify,
Yeah.
protect, kind of go inside kind of thing. Sameness, like you're just in the place of wanting things to be the same for a while. And it can also be a place of acceptance, right? Where you're like, oh, this is my world, this is my life. I want this, or this is what I'm doing for the next few years because of an age and stage reason, right? Over this side of the loop, we've got the difference side, where we are. Sometimes it's chosen and sometimes it's imposed, and we're in a place of expansion. We're taking risks or experiencing risks. Excuse me. We are wanting different, so we're seeking it out. We're looking for different lovers, different jobs, different countries, different experiences. Just give me something new, because maybe the sameness has started to feel a bit stagnant. And we can also experience real resistance here, right? But especially if we've been thrust into difference. Like, it's like, oh, this is wrong. I want to be back here, but I'm not, right? I've lost my job. I want to be back there, but I'm not. So I'm resisting what's going on right now. So what I want you to be careful about is recognizing that everybody goes through this.
Yeah.
Some of us only go through it once because we move two towns over, and that's the big life event that creates difference for us, right? And some of us are like, I'm gonna do a whole lot of different things. I'm gonna, spend my life in a state of growth, in which case you're gonna zip around here lots and lots of times. For anyone who is in a marginalized, has a marginalized identity, they will probably experience this kind of loop way more than the average bear. That's not because they are different. It's because in claiming their identity, they are having to take risks. Does that kind of make sense? Like, I
Yeah.
just want us to be careful about sameness being the norm and different being a marginalized identity. This is not about that. It's about the state of your world, right? Is it in a place of stasis? Is it in a place of change? Right? So it's not about a personal identity. It's about the state of your world, if that kind of makes sense. Yeah. And so, first of all, just kind of normalizing this, that this is it for everyone, that it's actually freaking brave to seek out, experiences that are different for you, right? Whatever that looks like, that's super brave. That's also where you're likely to need help, right? And we can go both ways. We can find it risky both ways, right? So for some people living out there on the expansion side of the loop, seeking that risk, doing all the things, coming back into some stasis can feel like, oh, that's boring, right? So, the queer folk I know tend to feel way more comfortable on the different, particularly when they've really claimed that identity and it's like, hey man, we are not doing normal white bread stuff. And then when sometimes it's an age thing where they're like, I cannot be in the club at 2, right? I've actually got to have an early night and I need my pillow at a specific temperature. Then it's like, oh, who am I? So that becomes some of the stretch, right? So just to say, like, this is a distinction that's quite useful to hold, is it's not about you being different, it's about seeking different experiences in your life or having those imposed on you. That's where the loop comes in. Does that kind of land for you, Charlie?
That does.
Yeah.
That makes
Yeah.
so much sense, 'cause then it can sounds like I can talk about it from a place of like, yeah, you've done a lot of brave things that have moved you into
Yeah.
like taking on risks and being different. And it makes complete sense that now maybe you're needing to be in a place of sameness and but some
Yeah.
part of you is actually now seeking some more difference, but you're
Yeah.
remembering all those
Yeah.
past experiences of when you took on risk and now there might be some resistance. That totally makes sense. Cool.
And so the thing is that we will feel overwhelmed. We'll feel like we can't deal with the change when our life creates requirements or expectations of us. And those expectations surpass the limits of what we have, like our resources, sometimes a skill set, sometimes our capacity. Right. So the overwhelm, the sense of risk, the sense of I'm wrong comes in when we don't have the resources to manage it. So I'm just thinking about your people and thinking perhaps they move into a workplace and, they are the only one. That everyone in the group is requiring you to now represent the LGBTQIA community, right? And this happens with people of color as well. You're now the representative. Please perform, right? And you're like, dude, I'm still coming to terms with this. I have no freaking idea how to be that for you. And it's a really unfair expectation of you to have. When you don't have a whole lot of warrior energy, right? You can go into, I must be wrong because I'm not doing a good enough job.
No, that makes complete sense because I had that experience when I did my cycle coach training, in which I was the only person who I wouldn't even necessarily use the label non-binary for myself, but I was the only
Right.
person who, let's say, is gender questioning. And it
Yeah.
like, but they and I was like, they kept expecting me to like, then, oh, the non-binary person. I was like,
Yeah.
I didn't even know about that label. Like, now you
Yeah.
want me to, and it really pushed me against like gender and like had a lot of like anger coming up around like, they'd say like, oh, I'm so happy to be in the circle of women. And I'm like, but I'm not, like, I don't know if I would say
Yeah.
that. I would use,
Yeah.
but then yeah, it just created so much resistance. And it's, yeah, that experience of like being thrust into a role that I was like, I wasn't ready to take on this role for you.
Because I think that's the extra layer that comes with having a marginalized identity, is that the expectations of everybody else mean that you're like, I just, one of my closest friends came out last 2 years ago and she's like, oh my God, the coming out never freaking ends. And I think that's the piece, right? Is that no heterosexual cis person is required to do that. It's like you kind of pass, so you're good, right? So the extra layer there requires really good boundaries.
Okay. Yeah, and that I like that. Thank you. That deepens my like belief that actually my work is like resourcing my people, giving them resources
Yes.
and giving them boundaries so that they can navigate the change when they're ready. Like, no one, this change is, it's never required of them to go through these changes. Like, it's okay. You, there are times where I like find myself not people pleasing, but wanting to blend in again and wanting to just be like, oh, okay, I won't introduce myself with pronouns. No one else is giving pronouns. Cool. Sure, my pronouns are she, her. Yep, absolutely. Straight woman over here, definitely. Let me mask this and pass this. And just being like, oh, because I don't have the resources at this point in time to be in that different space. It's like, oh, okay, I'm just going to be sameness for right now because like it's 2 hours of this workshop and I'll just shove it all down.
Right.
It's fine.
And this is the thing, like, I think one of the phrases that might be fun for your people to play with is, because it's their choice. They get to choose, right? Do I mask and pass because it's just freaking easier and I just can't today, right? Or do they actually state whatever they want to say, right? To claim their identity. The phrase I would love them to start playing with is, can you love your reason? Love your reason for it. If it's totally self-care to just say what's easy, go for it. And you're like, oh, phew, I don't have to have that conversation today. I just can't.
Yeah. And not to feel guilty over that. Because then I think there's guilt of like, oh, but I'm not being a good representative.
Now I'm going to make the other person uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, you're the first non-binary person I've ever met. And the over embarrassment, the performative embarrassment, oh, I got your pronouns wrong. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Like all of that. It's just exhausting and unnecessary, right?
Awesome.
And just one thing I just want to say, Jolly, because I think this is super useful for your people. I told you I had all this stuff on my on my computer. You might remember this.
Yeah.
So one of the things I would say is that it is just to notice for individuals in your community, they are going to be in different places. Right. There may be some quite like general themes here, but I would really start paying attention to the individuals because for some folks, right? Oops, sorry. What happened there? Here we go. For some folks, the sense of I am my relationships, they will be in that forming self-concept because they have found the queer community. And they are coming out and it's like, oh my God, I found my chosen family. Sometimes for the first time, I now feel like I have a sense of belonging. And what can happen is you're then looking to the queer community to say, what are the rules? How do I fit here? How do I stay safe in this? And I can imagine that having found community, chosen family, it can feel like an even greater risk to potentially lose that by saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing. That sense of risk can feel greater, particularly if claiming your gender or sexuality has led to disruption and difficulties with your birth family.
Yeah.
So some folks will stay in that forming self-concept. It will just be that the community, that the relationships they're looking to the rules for is LGBTQIA+.
Yeah.
For some folks, though, they will be like, yep, I am my own identity. I am this, and I'm kind of out, the true meaning of pride, right? Like, this is me. Take it or leave it. And there will still be parts of them that they will have that polarity relationship with that you talked about. And I think just getting folks to sense, where am I? Or am I, which will usually be happening, am I somewhere in the middle? Just also know these are kind of building blocks. So when you get to a formed self-concept, when you're pretty clear, this is me and this is not me, you also have the ability to identify within groups and relationships. So you kind of take it with you, right? I've also read some really cool research. I'll try and find it for you, Jolly, about mixed race kids in the States who have gone to college. And some of the research has been done by Black developmental psychologists, which, you know, this is why we need representation. And they are finding that actually these kids are reaching what we would call a reforming self-concept way earlier than we thought possible. So when Keegan was first doing this work, and he still claims you cannot get to reforming self-concept until late adulthood, like 40s, 50s, whatever. But actually the folks who live in those many identities, many paradoxes, you know, they actually develop the, because this is all about your ability to hold and have the capacity for complexity. They've been living with that for years and years and years. So it makes total sense to me that folks who have lots of different identities, particularly those that are challenged by, you know, the world at large, would have a greater capacity to hold those things.
Yeah, well, my oldest son is 14 and he's autistic. And the other day him and his brother were having a fight because it's complicated, but it's that basically... His dad has a girlfriend and they haven't met her yet, but he had described her and she's like, oh, Rowan's my favorite. That's the youngest. And my oldest was going to his brother. He's like, well, how dad describes us to her is not who we are. He's like, how dad sees us is not who we are. He's like, that's just dad's version of us. And he's describing dad's version. And I was like, how does my child know that how his dad sees him is like not actually who he is? He's like, no one actually knows who you are. And I was just like, okay, it took me like 30 years to learn that, like, how my dad sees me is not who I am. But I was just like, okay, so yeah, like 14-year-olds can totally have this concept of like, it's not quite reformed, but just like, oh, I'm not who anyone else says I am. I'm not how other people see me. I was like, okay.
You've done well there, mama. And I think that's the thing, right? What you're seeing in your older son are glimpses of a reformed self-concept that's very healthy, that can hold those multitudes and that can kind of hold his own identity even when other people disagree or say you're not who you think you are. Awesome. Beautiful.
All right. Thank you so much.
Does that help you, Jolly?
It does. It was so helpful to just have that dive back into that material. Thank you.
And just yell if you're like, I've got a spot question on this, then just please do email. No worries at all. Yeah, cool. How fun. It is, you know, I've been diving into this with our current class and it's really fun to look at how these states of self-concept are and how that really does, I think, take us out of, maybe just a place of, I think sometimes what can happen is clients will say, can you help me do this thing? And usually we can help them do that thing in one or two sessions. Like, it's kind of like, okay, cool, but what's the real thing you're here for? And, you know, why was that thing a thing for you? Then I think what can happen is that developmental lens helps us take it at the coaching from a kind of like, look, here's some water, drink it kind of thing. We're actually taking them to their own river and saying, what do you want to do here? You know, to use the analogy of the horse to water and helping him drink. There is something about actually getting into the weeds with a person's identity and how they formed that. What do they believe them? Who do they believe themselves to be? And while we can't make development happen, I think we can absolutely create the conditions for our clients to see what would support them to make transformational change. Yeah. Really cool. Great question, Jolly. Love it. Well, we're coming up to time, my loves. It's the start of your days. So I hope it's a fabulous one. I'm going to make myself a cup of tea, get my two squares of chocolate and go read my book. I'm reading Oh my God. If anyone loves like fantasy, the Sarah J. Maas stuff, holy crap. Like fairy porn. I think that's my new thing. Yeah, it's so good. I love it so much. Such a balm. So yeah, I can highly recommend anything by Sarah J. Maas. They're all called like the House of, I don't know, Blood and Stone or something. Yeah. I poo-pooed the whole thing because in my local bookshop, it's in the young adult section. We're so patronizing. But yeah, it's brilliant. So good. So fun. And as well, like I think the sex in it is really good because the fairies are all like 500 years old. So it turns out that's how long they need to practice. Brilliant. All right, loves. Well, that's going to be a fun listen to anyone who watches the replay. But anyway, I digress. Have fabulous days. And yeah, we'll see you again soon. All right, loves. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Bye. Bye. Bye.